Chapter 7. The school day seemed to drag on, save the periods when Stiles got some light snoozing in, or the few concentrated efforts to avoid running into Jackson just in case he was having some regrets about pouring his heart out to Stiles, and might be inclined to express his regrets through fisticuffs. Thankfully, though, that fear was laid to rest after one awkward nod between them in the hallway. But aside from those halcyon little naps and bursts of fear-infused adrenaline, the rest of the day was like being stuck in molasses. And apparently, teachers are not super fond of one writing about the Great Molasses Flood of 1919 when the assignment was supposed to be on the founding of Boston. They took place in the same location. Was it Stiles' fault that food product floods were more interesting than the Puritans? No, it was not. Then finally, the day was over. Stiles practically flew out of the building to the parking lot, or as much flying as someone with a sprained ankle could do without further injury. He made it to his Jeep, narrowly avoiding Scott, sans Allison, but with a questionable look on his face. He drove home, all nice and legal within the speed limit, as appropriate for the sheriff's kid, but cursing every red light. The driveway came into view before him, and he pulled in, not skidding at all. It was only when he had finished racing upstairs to his room to get ready did it sink in that it was only 3:30. Derek was not coming to pick him up until around 7. Even factoring in a quick shower, Stiles still had 3.5 hours to kill before his not date. In Stiles' heart, date, but in the cold, harsh reality of, well, reality, not really a date, with Derek. No problem. Stiles was a pro at filling time. When waiting at the doctor's office, he had at one point or another read probably everything on both STIs and the best positions for pregnancy sex that had been written within the past 5 years, as that was the reading material you apparently got when your general practitioner shared a waiting room with an OBGYN. So he could definitely find something to occupy himself in his own room, with a myriad of entertainments and distractions. No problem. Nothing was due tomorrow, but getting homework done early was never a bad thing, so math it was. Except, the numbers seemed to be awfully reluctant to stay in one spot on the page, and he was pretty sure that DNS should not be the only variables used on the entire page, so maybe math could, in fact, wait a while. 14 minutes had passed. So homework was out, no big! That was just the most studious and responsible of the options Stiles had in front of him. His effort was valiant and parental unit approved, but it was time to look toward something else. Like the comic trade paperbacks he had picked up last week and hadn't gotten a chance to read yet. Stiles was made for comic books, and he knew in his heart he would be an ace as Batman. Well, maybe not Batman, but at least Blue Beetle. Either the 80s version or the current one, because both were pretty cool, despite their superhero identities being insect-related. However, for once in his life, he couldn't get into the supreme awesomeness that was Batman running through Arkham Asylum to get to the Joker. So he tried switching to an indie publisher. But even an atomic robot created by Nikola Tesla fighting Thomas Edison couldn't hold his attention for more than a page or two. 17 minutes. Video games! There were always zombies and/or Nazis to kill, high scores to beat, and noobs to benevolently teach the error of their noobish ways to. Except, when he tried to do that, Stiles ended up being killed and respawned in increasingly embarrassing ways. 11 times. In 19 minutes. 2 hours and 40 minutes left. Maybe he should try to pick out what he should wear, because even if it wasn't technically a date, the restaurant was still a nicer place than he usually went to with Derek, so he should at least put some effort into not looking like a slob. Not that he wanted to put in so much effort that it looked like too much effort. He needed to reach the delicate balance of putting on just enough effort to look effortless, but not uncaring. Easy. After all, he was a pretty low-key guy, so it shouldn't be all that difficult. Just something clean and free of any profanity, right? Stiles pulled out half the clothes he owned and laid them out on the bed and just stared at them. His usual sartorial choices were pretty basic, so he was looking at an expanse of image tees and plaid overshirts, which, despite being the criteria he had set forth, just seemed altogether lacking. Stiles stared at his clothes some more, moving them around so that different ones were next to each other, trying to will one to leap out to him and yell, "Pick me! I won't make you look like an asshole, I promise!" Styles was debating whether he should try calling Allison, as she always seemed to have pretty good taste in general, though she would probably want to know what her expertise was being used for, when he looked at the clock again. 6:31. How the hell had he spent over 2 hours trying to pick out clothes? More importantly, how had he spent over 2 hours trying to pick out clothes yet not actually managed to choose anything? Still, worrying about the possibility that he had somehow entered a fashion-induced fugue state had to be put on the back burner if he wanted to be actually clean for when Derek came. Not that Derek was going to be getting close enough to... Fuck my brain, Styles grumbled to himself as he made his way to the bathroom to shower. He showered quickly and gave himself a perfunctory shave, even though he didn't really have all that much facial hair, a fact which essentially ruined his childhood dream of one day growing a handlebar mustache. So, probably for the best then. He was toweling off when his text alert sounded. At gas station on Ward Street. ETA less than 5 min. Derek. Styles looked at his clock and wondered how it didn't occur to him that in real life, most people, himself usually included, around 7 meant a 15-minute buffer either way, not 7 on the dot. Looking again at the clothes strewn over half his room, he sighed and grabbed a dark blue dress shirt he had originally dismissed as being too formal and trying too hard, but figured that if you wore it with no tie, the top button undone, not tucked in and with jeans, it wouldn't look too weird. He shrugged the shirt and a clean pair of jeans on and went downstairs to wait for Derek and be totally, completely nonchalant.
It had been hard for Derek to get through the day at work. He normally wasn't an anxious or jittery person. When half of your nature was prepared to patiently stalk prey over a number of hours across miles of forest, the other half tended to follow along the same lines. But today, he just couldn't keep himself from constantly checking the time, feeling as if he were going to vibrate straight out of his chair from sheer anticipation as another minute slowly ticked by. He began to wonder if this was what Styles had felt like that time he had downed half a dozen pixie sticks, followed by a jolt chaser on a dare, but clamped down in that train of thought as having anything Styles-specific in his head was not going to help. He just had to concentrate on reminding himself not to think about it. Damn it. It was like this fucking pink rhino Styles had been talking about, which itself was a Styles-related thought. Derek made a sound halfway between a sigh and a growl, then tried to refocus on finishing up the incident reports he hadn't finished up from his time out on patrol yesterday. He had managed to make some decent headway when Sheriff Stilinski came back from a meeting with a local forestry service over at Town Hall. Derek ducked his head with embarrassment. He had heard the sheriff discussing it through the wall on the phone before he left. Apparently, last night, multiple people reported both hearing, and more importantly in a few cases, seeing, a wolf, worryingly close to town. Derek had been schooled since he was a pup to be careful of letting loose unless he knew it was safe. But he had been running on the high of Styles' scent. Luckily, from what he had heard of the sheriff's initial conversation, the rangers thought at most people saw an oversized coyote, or more likely a stray husky mix rather than a real wolf. So nothing for Derek to worry about, but still something to hope his family would not be hearing about. Mom and Dad would look so disappointed in such different ways, and Laura would be Laura. "How was the meeting, boss?" Derek asked as Sheriff Stilinski came over to his desk. "Waste of time. Seems that one of the movie channels had been running An American Werewolf in London on a loop last night. So, the way people's imaginations work, they watched part of that and then saw a labradoodle that slipped its leash. Just if anyone asks, the sheriff's department is going to be extra vigilant protecting the populace from rogue wolves until said populace gets distracted by something else and stops asking. I will be most sincere," Derek said with a smile. "After all, hails don't stand for outside threats to their territory." "So," the sheriff said with a small cough, "you have anything planned for tonight?" Yes, going out with a friend. Why do you ask? He knew very well why he was asking. Derek was very familiar with that tone paired in cadence. This was the way Sheriff Stilinski was fond of beginning interrogations. It was a lot less satisfying to witness the technique when it was being used on Derek instead of trapping lowlifes who beat their son, or other trash like that. Just thinking how maybe I should be trying to find myself more of a social life. It seems that Stiles is going out with a friend for dinner tonight, and I'll be left to my own devices, though he did text me a list of forbidden food items. I will be ignoring them, of course. He just likes to take care of you, Derek said, trying to keep his tone jovial. He knew that at some point, he was going to have to seriously deal with the fact that Stiles' father was his boss. He knew that. But he had just been so focused on Stiles that he was nowhere near ready for it. It was kind of odd, though, the older man trailed off. What? Derek asked, then immediately berated himself. He needed this conversation to end. He shouldn't be suckered into furthering it. Stiles just seemed a little evasive when I asked who he was going out with. If it was just Scott, he would have told me. Probably just another friend from school, said Derek, wondering if he should have asked permission. Was that too archaic? He still felt too unsure of where he stood with Stiles himself to worry about the disapproving dad waiting at home. Not that a father with a gun could permanently damage Derek, but still. Well, I guess it doesn't matter so long as he's back home by no later than 10:30. It is a school night, after all. Sounds reasonable, said Derek, unable to fully believe what was being implied. Of course, weekends he does get until 2. He is almost 18, after all, and I understand giving the kid some freedom. But no later than 10:30 on school nights. The sheriff took a step back from Derek and glanced over to his office with a sigh. All that time wasted at town hall set me back a bit on dealing with the smash and grabs downtown, so I'll be here a while yet. But you have a good time tonight, whatever you've got planned, John said, walking past Derek to his office, giving his deputy a quick pat on the shoulder. Derek's eyes followed John to his office, thinking that it was very unfair that a human was able to throw a werewolf so off balance in just a few sentences. That was one of the reasons he had always admired the man, though. The Stilinski family always kept you on their toes. And only a few more hours to go, till he got to see Stiles. After Derek left work, a little after 5, he drove home and then promptly stripped and went on an all-fours run. Being more cautious than last night, of course, but he knew that if he wanted to make it through dinner with Stiles, he needed to burn off some of the nervous energy that had been building up within him all day. He ran briskly through the forest, letting himself open up his senses the way he rarely did, unless necessary, when he was in town. The purity of the leaves, the dirt, the fallen branches covered with mushrooms, the whiffs of frightened prey that could so easily be his if he only cared to find them. Actually, as he really wasn't all that enamored with Japanese food, a little snack couldn't hurt. Soon, he was trotting back up to the house, nerves more settled, and bits of wool between his teeth. They were the first animal he had ever caught when he was just a tiny pup, and every so often he would catch one for a nostalgic snack, though they were hardly even a mouthful for him now. He padded round to the back of the house, hidden from what passed for the Hale driveway, and shifted back to human to go inside to shower and brush his teeth. It was getting close to a reasonable enough time to go and pick Stiles up without seeming overeager, and he didn't think Stiles would really be all that fond of vole breath. Soon he was showered, and in addition to brushing his teeth, he had gargled twice with mouthwash, just in case. He efficiently towel-dried his hair and walked back to his room, not bothering to cover up with a towel. His ears and nose told him no one else was home, but even if they were, casual nudity in werewolf families was pretty much a given, as it was hard to develop much body modesty when everyone got together to shift for night runs. It was only when company was over, and they remembered that other people had an issue with it, did things get a little awkward. Derek walked over to his closet and took out the clothes he had decided on last night before he fell asleep. A pair of black jeans and a heather gray long-sleeved t-shirt. It hadn't been a very hard decision, as Derek's wardrobe consisted of basically 4 categories. Work-related clothes, workout clothes, That one suit that he had worn to his cousin Della's wedding 2 years ago. And lots of dark-colored everyday wear. Styles frequently teased him that one day he would team up with Laura and replace everything in his wardrobe with some less monochromatic attire. Occasionally Laura mentioned it as well, causing Derek to legitimately worry that it might actually happen one day. Because for all he loved Styles, he really, really was not inclined to wear shirts with things like Jossam written on them, and Laura's contributions would probably be even worse. He heard her mention to their mother on at least one occasion that Derek was a man that could pull off pink. If it ever should come to pass, he knew that Styles he would indulge, at least for a little while. Laura, on the other hand, would have to deal with a muddy wolf shaking out his coat on top of her shoe collection. Dressed, and no longer willing to make himself wait any longer, Derek grabbed his leather jacket and was opening the front door to leave when his father pulled up, back from his office hours at the county college. "Hi, Dad," Derek said, making himself stay put instead of racing off to his car like he wanted to, as his father walked up the steps to meet him on the porch, battered briefcase in hand. "Good day at work?" "Maybe if students could come to me with actual questions about organic chemistry instead of just asking for extensions on assignments, it could be considered good. But as it stands, it wasn't a bad day. Frankly, I'm surprised you're taking the time to ask when your mind is already ringing the Stolinsky's doorbell," his father said with a knowing smile. "I wish I could give you some fatherly advice in all this, but your mother was the one who set her mind on me first and followed through, though who knows why. Just try to emulate your mother. She always knew how to strike the perfect balance between persistence and stalking." Derek let out a short, sharp laugh at his father's favorite description of his parents' courtship. It was the way his mother tended to describe it as well. "I'll keep that in mind, Dad," he said, leaping off the porch, feeling too energized to even bother with the stairs. He opened the door to the Camaro and slid right in, starting the ignition and closing the door in one smooth motion. It had technically been a gift from Uncle Peter for both him and Laura to share, proving that while he was without a dad generous and loving, the man was not without a very warped sense of humor. For the sake of sibling harmony, Derek usually ceded the use of it to Laura, and drove a more practical car for work and errands. But tonight, it was all for him and Styles. One of the upsides of being a deputy was knowing exactly where all the local speed traps were located. Using that knowledge, he cut the time it took to get to Styles' house down to a third of what it normally should be. He was nearly there when he realized that Laura hadn't refilled the tank in a while and stopped off to fill it up. He sent a message to Styles to let him know that he was almost there and went inside to pay. He noticed some grease had gotten on his hand from using the pump and went to wash his hand in the restroom, and on his way back out, he passed the store's display of prophylactics and paused. Even if Derek had been with anyone since he was a teen, diseases just weren't able to set up shop in a werewolf's body. In addition, Derek's wolf hated the idea of anything, even a thin piece of latex, separating him from his Styles when mating. And Derek's more rational half knew that they wouldn't be needed tonight anyway, with his intention to take it slow and show Styles that he truly cared about him. But when it did happen, and Derek just had to believe that it would, Styles, as a human who'd been hearing always use protection from his father and every authority figure for years, might feel more at ease if there were condoms involved, at least at first, until he fully understood. And there was something to be said for being prepared instead of having to stop once they got going. Derek went up to the register to pay for his gas. Half a dozen condoms, and double that in packets of lubricant. As he handed over the cash, he repeated to himself in his head that he was an adult, an officer of the law, a big scary werewolf, and there was no reason for him to feel his face heat at the cashier's knowing smirk. Derek stowed most of the condoms and lube in the Camaro's glove compartment, though he did slide one of each into his wallet with the optimistic thought that even if it wasn't going to be tonight, it would be sooner rather than later, and he should be ready. The Stolinsky house was only a few blocks away from the gas station, and soon Derek was pulling into the familiar driveway. He parked and got out to walk to the front door, pausing to take a few deep, calming breaths before ringing the doorbell. He had barely taken his finger off the button when he heard footsteps racing up to the door, and then stopping right in front of it. The door remained closed while Derek tried to commit the pattern of Stiles' rapidly beating heart to memory. "This is what it sounded like when I picked him up for our first real date," Derek thought. "Soon I'll know what it sounds like when I tell him I love him, when we kiss for the first time, when we strip each other bare." The door opened, snapping Derek out of his reverie. Stiles stood before him in a blue shirt that seemed to make his skin glow, unbuttoned enough to show the tantalizing hollow of his neck, in which a drop of water from the shower he had obviously just taken remained. Derek reminded himself that licking away that drop was not appropriate first date behavior, and definitely not before the date even started. He looked back at Stiles' face and smiled to match the one there. "So," Stiles said, shutting the door behind him, "ready to go? I'm craving some sweet potato tempura sushi like nobody's business."